someone's trying to stop them from illegally doing an eviction at her house, and the constable just broke in, even though she's got a bankruptcy case in place.
And, Grace, when you say broke in, you mean he broke down the door, literally?
Yeah, she's got two kids in the house who are locked in trying to, you know, be safe.
Yeah.
There's a few protesters there, and she had to go to the Worcester Housing Court in its unbelievable continuous just disintegration as anything that could ever qualify as a court. Didn't have any judges sitting yesterday. We had two crises that people went down to try and get Cheryl, whose house this is, trying to get an emergency stay, and folks who, oh yeah, that's a longer story I'll tell. Anyway, but they didn't have any judges sitting, and they couldn't seem to figure out getting people to a judge in an emergency. So it's just, they're just so unbelievably illegal and incompetent down there. So she had to go, even though her home's in Fitchburg, she had to go to Marlboro this morning before a 10 a.m. eviction to try and stop the eviction. And in housing court, if that fails, then people file a bankruptcy. Her bankruptcy case was filed. We had the docket number, which is all you're supposed to need, and our activists on the ground at her house, because of course she can't get back there in time because they required her to be in Marlboro. Activists on the ground apparently had the bankruptcy case number, and the constable broke in anyway. So you have a federally enforced automatic stay, and the bank's agents just continue to break the law. So, you know, anyway, I assume it'll get sorted out because she did have the bankruptcy stay, and I don't know, you know, what everybody's problem is. But I was trying to get an appeal filed for her, which has also been filed. So I don't know. But they break the law and they don't care, and they kind of do this, you know, sort of mad rush, like it's going to make any difference because it takes them hours to do an eviction. I don't know. It's just become terrorism. And the Worcester Housing Court, it shouldn't even be called a court. They've managed to enter the wrong law firm and lawyer in dozens of cases. So that when people go to file any kind of motion or anything in court, you always have to serve it on the lawyer for the bank, for the other side. And the housing court has listed in dozens of cases the wrong law firm and the wrong lawyer.
Oh, so everybody
will be serving the wrong law firm and the wrong lawyer. And we only happened to figure it out yesterday because somebody was trying to reach the lawyer to get them to agree to their motion. And they started on the process and it took hours, and they finally figured out which law firm has the case. But we still don't know which lawyer has the case. And she's got court this afternoon, and she couldn't serve anybody. She couldn't do any of the things she needed to do. And it means that dozens of folks will be serving the wrong law firm. Because the Worcester Housing Court refuses to admit that it makes mistakes, and the and they believe anything a lawyer tells them, our folks will end up losing these motions, even though it's clearly the court's fault. And there's no accountability at this point. We appeal, and the appeals court. There are two kinds of appeals. You can do an appeal that is a what's called an interlocutory appeal. So that's an appeal in the middle of the case.
Yep.
When there's just a particular order that you want to have reviewed and changed because it's going to alter the direction of the case.
Yep.
And the single justices that are sitting on these cases in Boston just act like rubber stamps, which is not their job. And so our folks are not getting proper review of what is happening in the Worcester Housing Court. And we have this stuff happening that's just outrageous. Last week, we had somebody who the Worcester Housing Court has been illegally, the way they've handled the case is blatantly illegal the whole time.
Wow.
And he's been under appeal. He's tried appeal after appeal after appeal. And at some point, he's going to get vindication because he's absolutely right. But his mother was taken to court for eviction, and she signed an agreement for judgment to leave because she's very depressed, and they took advantage of her mental health situation to force her into signing an agreement. She went back to the judge shortly thereafter because they found the Worcester anti-foreclosure team, and she found out that she didn't she's not required to uphold an agreement that she signs under duress. She went in front of the judge with a really good note from her doctor, and the judge said, "I don't care." So she honored the agreement anyway, and she moved out according to the agreement. And then they went ahead and got an eviction notice anyway, because the court gave it to them without checking whether she had satisfied her judgment or not. And so now you can satisfy a judgment. You can do what you're supposed to do, and the court gives out the execution to evict anyway. She went in front of the judge, gave the judge her information showing that she had satisfied the agreement, and the judge said to the bank's lawyer, "Well, you can't evict her, and you can't evict anybody you haven't named, but you can use this eviction notice." So they gave it to their constable, who went down to the house anyway, and the adult sons live there. They were never party to the case at all, and the constable had the sense that time not to risk violating the law. So they instead went back to the court, got the court after the judgment had been satisfied and everything was taken care of. They went back to the court, and the Worcester Housing Court said, "Oh, sure, you can just add more people to a court case," which of course you can't once the case is finished. At least one would hope that you can't. They added the adult son who was fighting for the home to the case after the judgment was satisfied. He tried really hard to get the housing court to honor the fact that the judgment was satisfied and that he couldn't be added to it, but they added him anyway. And then he's fought that for months. And then they finally, every appeal he tried, he got blocked in ways that I don't think there's any way are legal. But they came back to the Worcester Housing Court. They got his appeals dismissed, even though a couple of them are still ongoing, and got the judge to agree to give an eviction, what's called an execution, right? Mm-hmm. You get a judgment, then there's has to be some piece of paper that allows somebody to carry it out, and that piece of paper is called a execution.
Okay.
And he got that. They got that ordered against him. They then gave out an execution against him separately and his mother separately, who's been out of the house for 9 months, whose case has been closed for 9 months. They didn't use those. Magically, a couple of weeks later, appear two eviction notices that are executions, one against him, one against his mother, that now say, "and any other defendants." So they've now added unnamed parties to the case. There was no request from the lawyer from the other side to do that in writing. There was no motion from the other side, which really is what would have been needed for the judge to decide on it. There is literally no paperwork at all, but two new executions issue, and the parties to the case has been changed by the clerk, presumably, who has no authority to do it. So now they've got executions against the mother, who's been out for 9 months, plus unnamed parties, the son, who's in the house, plus unnamed parties, all in a court case that now has an illegal name because parties were illegally added to it, and they can use the execution against anyone.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's no law at all, and the idea that you can do all of what you're supposed to do and fight a court case all the way you're supposed to do it, follow all the rules, even satisfy a judgment that you agreed to under duress, and they still can illegally give out executions and evict people who never even were named or had a day in court. I mean, it's a complete travesty.
Grace, let me ask this, my usual dumb question here. What, isn't there a higher authority somewhere in the state, Supreme Court, or someone would see what's going on out there and step in straighten some of this stuff out?
As you know, I'm always asking for volunteers. The problem is that these violations happen every day. We're experiencing not as absolutely egregious as the one I just described or the one that's going on right now, but every day we're experiencing these, and just the amount of time it takes to document what has happened and send it to the appropriate authorities. We probably have easily 500 obvious legal violations that we have not had the resources to document and report. And
oh
so literally, if there are people listening to the radio, I'm talking about people who are losing their homes, who are in the hospital dying from heart attacks, and kids, like, so the other story was that, I mean, literally, I need people, even if they're at home on a computer, who can listen to somebody and type up the story. But without the hands, the thing about legal stuff is it's all in writing. You have to have paperwork for everything.
Right.
And so you literally, it's just a matter of not enough hands on deck, because what's happening is so egregious. There's no way that if it was all being reported to the various authorities inside the courts, that it would be continuing, because the courts can't have a court that's as rogue as this, because their credibility depends on credibility. And this court alone is destroying their credibility.
Grace, so, there was something you said there, and I think it's very, very important. I think we need to return to it. You said you had like 500 cases that just need somebody to sit down, listen to them, and write it down. I mean, I would think there'd be a lot of people, particularly, I want to say women, but it could be anybody, actually. It doesn't matter. With something like what I have, like Dragon, naturally speaking, you can just literally talk into the thing and create a document. And because it's a Word document, if you have to go back and edit it, correct it, you can do it. And it's dynamite. It works.
Yeah, but that doesn't solve the issue. We need documents that are laid out properly, that are formatted properly, that have the supporting documents, that are submitted properly. I mean, I suppose we could just submit anything under the sun everywhere and try and swamp the system the way we're swamped. But really, there's no shortcut for the fact that the only way we get out of, whether it's this injustice or another injustice, the only way we're getting out of it is for more people to come on and help out.
Right.
And it's a travesty. We only have a few minutes left, but the last story is this family is a triple-decker. The three generations live in the house, good working class kind of situation. And they've been fighting an illegal foreclosure by the bank in court as defendants, doing exactly what they're supposed to do, following every rule. The bank, on top of the numerous violations, apparently sold the property while the title is being fought over in court. To some local investor here in Worcester. And on Friday, eight relatively young guys, showed up, stormed the house, broke in the front porch door, broke in one of the inner doors, and they called the police. One of them called a couple of us from the Worcester anti-foreclosure team. We rushed down there. The police, I guess, had sort of taken them out of the building and told the eight young thugs that they needed to not storm a house. And they are supposed to have legal authority. They're supposed to have at least gone to court and gotten a court order if they're going to try and enter a house without the permission of the residents. Of course, they didn't have permission or not permission, because they had never talked to anybody. And so we went. They then called the code inspector and the fire inspector, because nobody can deny them access if they think there's a problem. So they got the police, let the inspectors in, and then let them in to follow the inspectors around. They violated the home safety of three households. and came and went as they wanted. They broke locks on two of the doors and then left, having left a whole bunch of trash in the front yard. The police left, and as these guys were kind of packing up to go, one of the folks in the household spotted one of them had a gun on his on his hip.
Yep.
And asked the other one, "What's that? What's he got a gun? You know, he's got a gun. Why has he got that?" And he said to the person who was asking, "Oh, well, because, you know, we never know what's going to happen in situations like this with people like you. Huh. And but don't worry about it, because they're hollow tip bullets anyway."
Oh, nice.
So it was a complete threat.
Oh, my God.
They were told they carried the gun all the time. They had told me when I was trying to negotiate with them that they do this all the time and it's no problem. Of course, they're totally violating the law. And they left the family without locks on the doors, knowing that they carry a gun, that they were planning to be back. Mm. And there's a single mom with a 2-year-old in the building. And they had to have someone at the building at all times because the locks are broken.
Oh, my
and,
God.
I called the city. I called a whole bunch of different folks, kind of got told, well, it'll get dealt with in due course. But the police lieutenant who let them into the building when he got there and ordered every apartment to open its door and let them walk through, that's all still sitting out there. So yesterday they were supposed to come at 1 o'clock back, this gang of eight, with their gun, and change the locks and take over the building, which they had no legal right to do. We, the family filed a stay away letter, went to the police. The first police officer they spoke to said, "Oh, we can't take a police report. That wasn't a threat to say we carry a gun and we have hollow bullets and we use them on people like you." No, that's not a threat. Luckily they then got a lieutenant who knew what he was doing, took their report. We got down to the house for one, and the gang of eight never showed up. The locks are still not fixed on the doors. They have no way of knowing if they're going to try and show up in violation of the stay away letter. I don't know. They've got court today at 2:00, but I mean, it is now complete wild, wild west. Anybody can claim they own the property, come on the property. If they can get a helpful police officer, they can then, walk through your apartments, break the doors, not have to, you know, go to court, not deal with breaking and entering and assault. With a deadly weapon, which is what that threat was.
Yeah.
And it's all fine, apparently. So, yeah, it's completely devolved, and the Worcester Housing Court didn't have a judge sitting yesterday and so couldn't deal with the fact that this gang of eight with their gun was planning to come back to this house that includes a 2-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 16-year-old who's mentally delayed and functions at the age of about 11 or 12. Single grandmother living in one of the apartments. It was going to be fine for the guys to show up with their guns. I don't know what level of outrage needs to happen, but for sure I don't have the resources to mobilize. Well, it's not so much mobilize as coordinate the dozens of volunteers we need until people start showing up and kind of offering on their own. But something at some point has got to happen.
Oh, my God. Grace, what you described, it doesn't sound like it could get any worse. It just goes from bad to worse.
Well, you know, I keep thinking it can't get any worse, but it does.
Yeah.
I mean, giving out an execution against unnamed parties who were never part of the case, who nobody ever got notification, no judge ever authorized, and there's no even written request in the file. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know who had authority to do it. I know they didn't have authority to do it. They criminally changed the names on the docket without any authority. And now use those executions to try and criminally evict folks when they had no right. I mean, I don't know. At some point, there's got to be an uprising of folks who get it. We cannot be in a place where if your home was ever named in a foreclosure, that you cannot guarantee any time, day or night, that someone will not show up, apparently, but they can carry a gun, and tell you that they are a private citizen and they're taking over your house.
Oh, my God.
This was, this was the basis of the American Revolution.
Yeah.
As it started in the Massachusetts colony, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that people have, at least as developed a sense of rights now And I don't know at what point, you know, as someone was saying, they were looking at the name of one of these newer, we think, bad debt collectors that are picking up these mortgages that are no longer foreclosable because they're so illegal. And looked at it and went, oh, they've been tied to laundering Russian mob money in Florida. Does that remind you of anybody we know?
Yeah.
Who has connections to Russian mob in Florida?
I've been reading all about that. In fact, it's called Russian Roulette. I've been reading the book on the air. In fact, I have a closing chapter I'm going to read today after we hang up.
Well, so this is for people who haven't been able to wrap their brain around it. The subprime mortgages and the foreclosures is what has allowed the rise of this illegal money, which is international, probably all being, you know, a lot of it criminal, a lot of it being laundered through these. And that's the money that elected the guy who claims to have a right to be in the White House. And we haven't got connected all the dots, and I shouldn't be saying it publicly, and I probably shouldn't put it on the air, but we know that that's where this is going to end up. And we need people of conscience to stand up, not worry about whether it's somebody they know who's getting foreclosed and evicted, but that they will not allow this outrage to continue in our communities.
Oh my gosh. Well, Grace,
if I seem stressed out, now you know why.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. I mean, I'm stressed out just listening to you. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Honest.
Well, so far we stopped, you know, probably 90% of the injustices that are going on. We're now regularly stopping auctions or getting them postponed because we can show so much illegal activity. But each of those postponements takes probably 6 to 8 hours of work. Wow. And we've got some 400 of them happening across the state every month.
Oh,
if we had the person power to do it, we would be literally stopping the industry in its tracks because we know how to do it now. And it's literally about more hands on deck.
Give us your number again, please. The number.
So if you can call the Mass Alliance Against Predatory Lending, MAPLE, the number is 508-630-1686, or find us on the web, and you can sign in and email us that way, which is www.maapl.info. But I really want to encourage anybody who, you know, is concerned and riled up from what you've heard, a key thing you've got to do is you've got to send out on all your social media and to email all your friends that we can beat the foreclosures now. People have got to come out of the woodwork and reach out for some help, because the way we're going to win this is by showing the industry that we can stop them dead in their tracks and they can't continue this illegal and criminal behavior. So please send a notice out to your friends. Tell them that every Sunday night at 5, we have a phone call. Every Monday night from 6 to 8, we work with people pre-auction, and all the information is available on our website at www.maapl.info. And they've got to stand up, because people literally lose their lives from these foreclosures, and we've got to decide that we are more valuable in our future, and our children's future depends on us ensuring that this kind of travesty does not continue.
My God. Grace, that is really, really powerful. All that. Now, folks, you heard that number to call, 508-630-1686, and they're on the web as well. Remember, they have a 5 p.m. Sunday phone-in, too. You can listen to that. Grace, thank you. This is wonderful. I mean, you are unbelievable.
Well, it's all of us working together that will bring us the world we all deserve and want. And there's a great quote that says, a war is first waged in the imagination, and it's time for us to take our imagination back from those who have tried to conquer it, and remember that a decent, just society is around the corner if we all fight for it together.
Absolutely. Grace, thank you.
All right.
Thank you
be
so
well,
much for
folks.
Your valuable time. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. That's Thinking Out Loud. That is the Yellow Rose of Texas, and that is put out by the